I think that it is absolutely wonderful that of all of the disciples, the one who gets double billing in the season of Easter is Thomas. Not Peter, or James, or John. Thomas, as in the unfortunately nicknamed Doubting Thomas. We all, of course, heard all about him a few weeks ago in the only gospel story that appears on the same Sunday every single year. There are none others like it. The only gospel story we hear year A, B, and C every year, second Sunday of Easter, proving just how important it should be to us. We heard the story about Thomas being absent from the room with the other disciples on Easter day, missing out on the first appearance of the risen Jesus, and requiring evidence before he would believe the word of his friends, and thus earning for himself, sadly for him forever, the Doubting moniker. But a better nickname for Thomas, if you ask me, is the only guy in the room with the courage to say what everyone else is thinking and no one is saying, Thomas. It doesn't roll off the tongue in the same way, but it is, I think, more accurate. Thomas can be counted on to ask the follow-up question. Thomas can be counted on to wonder out loud, to be inquisitive. And so today, for the second time this Easter, we get a fabulous story about him. Jesus is in the midst of his final teaching to the disciples. The context of that gospel story is the Last Supper. We've gone from Easter and resurrection back in time to the Last Supper. I just want you to know where we are when he's talking. So it's his final night of mortal life. And Jesus is clearly trying to pack in as much as he possibly can into these last precious hours. The trouble is, of course, that the disciples are stuffed with lamb and wine. And so they're losing the thread on what Jesus is talking about. They're a little bit in a tryptophan and wine-induced glaze. And so they're kind of coming in and out. And Jesus, no doubt, notices that he's losing them, and so he wraps up this little section of his teaching with, "Don't worry, guys, because you know where I am going." Cue Thomas, i.e., the only guy in the room with the courage to say what the others are unwilling to. "Lord, we have no idea what you're talking about. You lost us 20 minutes ago. None of us wanted to speak up. We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there. Can you explain it to us?" It is a wonderful moment of vulnerability and honesty. Thomas is speaking up for the other 11, as well as for every other disciple down through the ages who has ever heard or read something Jesus is teaching and thought to themselves, "I'm not really sure what to make of that one." And so it is thanks to Thomas that Jesus boils all of this teaching, sometimes enigmatic, boils all of this teaching down into one of the greatest and most poignant of all of his statements, "I am the way and the truth and the life." "That's why I told you not to worry, guys," Jesus is essentially saying. "I've got this." For any of us who battle worry in our lives, who struggle with whether or not we are doing enough or are good enough, whether or not we're going to be okay, and especially for those who have ever worried about what's going to happen when we die. Y'all, these words are for us. We don't have to worry. We are going to be okay. We are going to reach the good end that we all long for, but not because of how good we are, not because of how much we've done, but because Jesus has us. He knows the way because he is the way and the truth and the life. And not only when we die either, he's not only the way and the truth and the life one day, someday, hopefully a long day from now, when our lives come to an end. This isn't only about how we will each reach our dwelling place, eternal in the heavens, or as the King James Version puts it so much more evocatively, find our way to our Father's many mansions. Gotta love some King James. True, this is a favorite gospel text for funerals, but I don't believe that Jesus only has heaven in mind when he says that he is the way and the truth and the life. He is very much all of those things all of the time, including now. So this morning I want to spend just a few minutes unpacking these three ideas, these three themes, way, truth, and life, and what it might mean for Jesus to be those things for us even now. So let me begin with Jesus as the way. Last fall, when I was on sabbatical, I had the privilege of walking two of the great walking paths of the world, the great pilgrim trails, one in Scotland and one in Italy. In Scotland, I walked the West Highland Way, roughly a 100-mile path through the glorious splendor of the Scottish Highlands. And in Italy, I walked the Via di Francesco, a path that connects Assisi to Rome. These were, well, most of you know, soul-stirring journeys for me. In both of these trails, the paths were indicated by what are known as, and those of you who do any hiking know what I'm talking about, blazes. Special markings on the side of the path that indicate to you that you're on the right track. On the West Highland Way, I would say very fittingly, the blaze is in the form of a purple thistle, the thistle being the national flower of Scotland. And on the Via, the blaze is in the form of parallel blue and yellow markings. Think of it like an upside-down Ukrainian flag. Over the many weeks that I walked these two paths, boy, did I depend on those blazes. I would look hard for them. Whenever I came to a confusing place, a fork in the road, or simply for reassurance that I was going the right direction. Because there were a few instances, especially on the Via, I would say, when the blazes were less frequent, and my attention would begin to wander, and I got magnificently lost. There was one time in Italy when I spent nearly an hour off trail, wandering through the woods. It was not pretty, trying to get back to the path. And let me tell you, I didn't miss a blaze after that one. The minute I walked past one, I was looking for the next one. And actually, over time, I developed this sort of little tingle in the back of my mind whenever it had been a little while since I'd seen the last one, you know, a little moment of unease when you wonder, am I going the right way? Friends, when Jesus says he is the way, what he means is he is our blazes on this journey of life. He is the one we should be looking for in order to know where to go. Because, Lord knows, life is filled with twists and turns and forks, and there are all sorts of options and obstacles and distractions, and we can get magnificently lost if we're not careful, when we stop paying attention to the one who shows us the way. He is our blaze. He is our marker, our signpost. He is the one who gets us on the right track and keeps us on the right track and then brings us back to the right track when we have wandered off into the woods. And the longer we walk along with Jesus, the more we develop those unconscious tingles that I was referring to in the back of our minds. That's the Spirit whispering at us that it is time to start paying attention again and start following Jesus again. That's when our heart and our soul are beginning to notice things that our eyes and our mind are trying to ignore. And we should do more listening to those tingles, because the world is big and daunting and complicated. And every day we venture a little bit farther down our path. And the only one I know who has never steered me wrong, who has always led me into right pathways, whose blazes are always and utterly reliable, is Jesus, because he is the way. Okay, so how about Jesus as the truth? Well, notice that Jesus doesn't say, "I am the fact." Nor does Jesus say, "I am the set of important rules." He says, "I am the truth." Because truth is not merely a specific data point. It's not a detail. It's not a rule. Truth is an orienting framework for seeing the world. Jesus is the truth in that he is how we are able to determine what is fake from what is real, what is right from what is wrong, what will endure from what will pass into oblivion. But y'all know, because you live in the same age that I do, we have to be careful, because there are plenty of folks spouting their own truth and slapping a Jesus label on it. After all, Jesus' name was all over a whole bunch of banners on the January 6th insurrection. Jesus' name was everywhere that day. And all sorts of lies and untruths have been peddled by people down through the ages who proudly brandish the name of Jesus. Well, the simplest test that I know of, call it a spiritual sniff test, to know if something is Jesus's truth or just someone else's, is to put their words and their actions next to the Beatitudes, those first verses from Matthew chapter 5. And consider, as you put them side by side, whether what this person is saying or doing is blessing the poor in spirit or multiplying the poor in spirit. Is what they're saying or doing about mercy, or is it about vengeance? Is it about violence, or is it about peacemaking? Is what they're doing blessing people who mourn, or just making more of them? Jesus is the truth. But sadly, in our world filled with distortions and twisted realities, not everything with his name on it is true too. Lastly, Jesus says, "I am the life." Well, what does that mean? Well, the simplest way that I can imagine is a little analogy I recently heard. I'll share it with you. Think about it like this. You are holding a cup of coffee, and someone comes along and bumps into you, making you spill your coffee everywhere. Why did you spill your coffee? Because someone bumped into you, right? Wrong. You spilled coffee because coffee is what was in your cup. If you'd had tea in your cup, you'd have spilled tea. If you'd had soda in your cup, you would have spilled soda. Whatever is in your cup is what spills when you spill it. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says, I am the life. He wants to be what is in our cup. He wants to be the source of what comes out when we get bumped. Because it is inevitable that our cup will be jostled. Life is filled with hardships and difficulty. And so the question is not, will my cup get bumped, but what is going to come out of my cup when it is? And when Jesus is our life, what is in our cup is love and peace, joy and patience. When Jesus is our life, what is in our cup is goodness and mercy, kindness and compassion. When Jesus is in our life, what comes out of our lives looks a whole lot more like his. So at the end of the day, we can admit, like Thomas, that we don't always get what Jesus is talking about. We don't always know where he is going or how to get there. But we don't have to worry, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. He is the blaze that keeps us on the path. He is the truth that leads us from the deceits of the world. He is the life that fills up our cup, now and always. Amen.